In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is fortuitous that today is the commemoration of the Apostle Mark of the 70, and also the myrrh bearers, and also with them Joseph and Nicodemus, because there really is a connection that I saw in the readings today, because we had three readings from the Epistle of St. James. We read from the Epistle during Vespers if it is for an Apostle. So, we read three readings, and that's why the doors remained open, because they always do when the epistle is read. And the epistle of St. James had such things such as, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now we're commemorating the myrrh-bearing women and Joseph and Nicodemus tomorrow, or tonight. And they did something quite remarkable that we must learn about, we must do ourselves. Oftentimes the scripture teaches us not by direct words saying, do this, do this, don't do this. This is how you should believe, this is how you should act. But the behavior of the people in observing them, that teaches us. Now, Nicodemus was a secret disciple. Unless I'm incorrect, I believe he's only mentioned twice before the Passion of the Lord. Because he once came to him at night, and the Lord taught him in the third chapter of St. John. And then also, when the Lord was about to be judged, he said to the Jewish leaders, because he was one of the Jewish leaders, our law does not judge anyone until they examine him. I don't think he was mentioned any other times, except then when he went with Joseph and took down the body and dressed the body and put it in Joseph's cave, which he had set aside for himself and used for the Lord, a new cave, a new tomb. And I don't remember, to be honest with you, if Joseph was ever mentioned except at the end. And they were secret disciples. But when the Lord was the most maligned, the most slandered, when he had just been murdered, when there was a sense in the city that those who were his friends would also be killed, or would be ostracized or hurt in some way, at that time, as the scripture says, Joseph became bold. So did Nicodemus. And craved the body of Jesus. They were true friends. Why were they true friends? Because they were not really double-minded. Because they loved the Lord. And when it really was time to, as we say colloquially, put up or shut up, they put up. They showed their love for him. This is a lesson for us. It's easy to be a friend until it's hard to be a friend. And then you find out how many friends you have. We all know this to be true, that when you go through hard times, oftentimes your seeming friends depart from you. Especially if something really difficult happens. You know, whether it's a divorce or illness or something else. And if you're with people in the good, you have to be with them in the bad. And so Jesus was crucified, and it didn't look good. Remember, his disciples thought he was dead. And they didn't know what to do. Because they were afraid. And I'm sure Joseph and Nicodemus were. And the Berberian women were. And yet, because of their loyalty to him, they did what they did. So we must learn from this. We must learn to be true friends. You know, there's a lot of things we can't do. A lot of us can't pray very well or very often. A lot of us are kind of lazy. A lot of us don't read very much of the scriptures. You know, stuff like that. A lot of us are, you know, there's things we habitually fall into, bad habits, even bad ways of thinking about stuff. And it just keeps going, and we try to get better, or maybe sometimes we don't try so hard. But I'll tell you what you can do as a Christian. You can be a true friend. This ties in with something that I've said many times. If you cannot stop sinning, at least be kind. This is the essence of true Christianity. And the Epistle of St. James addresses this in a kind of an oblique way. I'm applying it to this idea, but it's nonetheless true. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you're a true friend, you're going to be a friend when somebody's doing good or doing badly. Or when a person is good to you or when they're not good to you. You're still going to be a friend. And that's a test of Christianity, brothers and sisters. That's the way we've got to be. There's a lot of stuff we can't do, but we must do this. This is not optional. Whether or not you pray well, read much of the scriptures, God help us to do this because it's a good thing. But if you cannot be a true friend and be loyal, you can't be a Christian. Most of the world is not loyal. When things get really bad, people abandon people because they're looking out for themselves. Joseph and Nicodemus didn't look out for themselves. They loved the Lord and they made their love known in a dangerous way. So let's do that too, okay? Now, perhaps there's not always danger, but there sometimes is. Anybody who's worked in an office environment knows that to be loyal to someone sometimes means there's some risk to you. So, may God help us to be true friends. Not to be double-minded, not to be a friend sometimes and not a friend other times. We can do this. And if we do this, this will be living out the first and the greatest commandments. Because the second one is like unto it. Without fulfilling the first, you won't fulfill the second. To love your neighbor as yourself. And to be a true friend is really to love your neighbor as yourself. All the time, not just part of the time. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through His grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.